This is Super Yacht Radio.
Welcome back to our Life After Yachting show, and I'm delighted to introduce our next two guests, both of whom have tremendous wisdom and support to share with the yachting community. Emma Baggett and Anna Petchel, thank you both for coming today.
Thank you very much.
So, Emma, starting with you, can you tell us a little bit about your role and what you do?
Certainly. Very quick background. I spent 12 years working in the industry, loved my life in the industry. And when I came out, I started a family, but also was very fortunate in that I had the opportunity to get into training. And over, I hate to say it, about a 20-year period, I've been involved with Interior Chef. Spent a long time running the first yacht cadetship, which was aimed entirely at super yacht crew, and then also worked on engineering qualifications. And in the last couple of years, I've set up my own company called The Om. And that really is based on everything I've done in my life and my really strong feel that there is much work to be done in the industry. So I work in two ways. I work to support crew in terms of creating pathways and solutions that enable crew to have happy, productive, professional careers. And that really is an end-to-end approach. So helping young people in and finding ways for them to access careers in the industry, to supporting people throughout their careers, and also helping them with future planning. So the end game, if you like. So, you know, making sure that their exit from the industry is well planned and supported, and providing them with mentoring and also with courses and professional development that helps them to that aim. And the other side of what I do is very much work with the industry, and those two sides really complement each other. So I work within the industry really to try and influence and push the industry to be a more professional, more equitable, and very much more sustainable entity. And working embedded in the two means that I can pass information and sort of wisdom between the two. But the end result really is to make everything a better place. That's a simple way of putting it.
Wow. I'm wondering, do you ever get weekends off?
Well, the trouble is, and I think anybody, and I'm sure Anna is the same, if you're passionate about what you do and you are, you know, an ex-crew member yourself, so you understand the availability of crew, yes, of course, you do get weekends off, but very often they're the best time to talk to crew and support them. So, yeah, it's you take your time off where you can. Yeah, but it's very satisfying to help people.
Yeah, it really sounds like something you really do with heart, not just, you know, from your own experience. But this is a project of love as well, of just helping this whole process. So, Anna, you have a similar, not similar story, but also an experience of transitioning from one to the other, which kind of brought you into coaching, didn't it?
Yeah. So my background, which some of you may know, some of you may not, but I did 8 years in the industry and was working on deck. And when I went to leave the industry, I found that there was very little support. This was back in not that long ago, so only 2018, but I found that there had always been support getting into the industry or when you were in the industry, but when you came to leave, a lot of people I noticed were having really struggles to leave the industry, and they were going to roles that looked sort of similar on the outside, but they weren't finding the satisfaction. So they were coming back in, and at that point, they were feeling resentful towards the industry, resentful towards themselves. And there was a lot of self-doubt that I could see coming up within people. And so when I was trying to leave, I struggled myself to get out and knew that when I wanted to leave, I wanted something that was inspiring and creative and different and fun, and I was able to do all the things that I hadn't been able to do in the industry. But that was really hard, because talking to people outside the industry, people just didn't really get it, and people didn't really understand where we were coming from, and they couldn't understand the concept of the yachting industry. And so I set up my business as Apetual Coaching, and set my role up as being the yachting exit strategy coach, because I thought that speaks. If you are in yachting, you know exactly what that means, because you know you need an exit strategy sort of to get out. During my time in the industry, I also found that sort of similar to Emma, in the sense that people needed a lot more support while in the industry. All these other industries out there, they have unions and supportive groups and mentorship during the industry. And I also, being a girl who worked on deck, found that there wasn't much support in that space. And so I myself also help people getting into the industry and during their time in the industry, much like you, Emma, because there's not a lot of support in that place. And when people come to, you know, that it's an exciting new world, and if you're a girl now, you can work on deck, but it's still a kind of emerging thing. And so now, you know, although I primarily help people leaving, I also have stepped back in helping people go through the trend through the whole time, so that you have a supportive, understanding career and path as you go through. And when you come out the other end, it's exciting and a next step along your journey, not a step out, or, you know, kind of coming off the edge of a cliff sort of thing. So, yeah.
Of curiosity, I'm sure you both have seen big changes over the past 2 years as well, of possibly kind of people stopping more over the past 2 years and going, oh, okay, wasn't expecting life as it has changed. And it's, I said this earlier, it's forced us all to kind of really stop and think, oh, what direction do I actually want to go in? Actually, what, and I think that's been a collective experience, which I'm sure you both have seen. Emma?
It's been an extraordinary time for everybody, hasn't it? No matter what your background and what you're doing. And I think within the industry, obviously everyone has been talking about mental health, but the effect on people's mental health due to the uncertainty of what was going on, and the stress and strain of some of the situations that they found themselves in, it gave people a lot of time to think. I think some people really questioned whether this was an industry that they wanted to stay in. And I certainly found that a lot more people were driven towards me looking for answers. And whereas they first initially came to me sort of saying, you know, I think this could be my last boat, I need to be thinking about, you know, perhaps I need to move on and get out, this isn't producing the lifestyle that I imagined it would for me. Part of my work and the way things started developing with me was that, first of all, I did a lot of work to encourage people to think a little bit more about how they could improve their current situation, how they could develop their own skills, and how those skills would help them on a day-to-day basis in their operational life, improve their own life within their careers, but also be thinking ahead with how that training could actually help them on their exit. So it was kind of a double bubble for them. But certainly I found I had chief officers, captains who were at breaking point. And I think one of the bigger issues is a lot of people think, well, it's over now, everything's going, everything's fine. But that feeling and the aftermath of what they went through is still a bit of a ticking time bomb. And it has made people look to the future. It has made people examine their careers. And I think people are probably less likely and less willing to live their lives as they have been I think people are looking for a better quality of life within their careers. They're looking for a better work-life balance. And what I find really encouraging about this generation is people are also really, once they've got their COCs, they're not kind of sitting back and going, right, I'm there, I've done it. They're looking to continue to educate themselves and also enrich themselves. How can I be better at my job? But how, now that I've got all those COCs out of the way, how can I actually do more to develop myself, which is really encouraging to see. So there are negatives and positives for me that I've seen come out of it.
And I can see you agreeing with this of a shared experience.
I mean, I don't want to just, like, you know, go and sit there and say, yeah, agree with everything Emma says, but that's so true. And I think ultimately the last 2 years has made a lot of people in every different industry reassess where they're kind of at. And a lot of people, I think, have noticed that, you know, family is a lot more important. And, you know, the last 2 years has meant that they haven't spent as much time, and the things, the perks that they had before have been reduced. Things like the travel and the personal development outside of the industry. So a lot of those things have been sort of reduced, and there's been a lot more pressure. I've had a lot more captains and chief officers who have been taken on a lot more responsibility that probably never existed in the industry before. You know, there's a lot of more mental health problems that are coming through due to what's been going on. And that's kind of fallen onto those higher up positions, which has meant that they've been in a lot more stressful situations and dealing with things that they would typically not have dealt with before. I've noticed, I know Emma, you kind of touched on it, well, you really did show that when people are happier within their current role, like, you know, when you're in a positive mindset, it's a lot easier to do anything. So when people reassessing, and so my whole thing is finding out your internal compass, because until you know that, it's really hard to figure out anything outside. And so, you know, working out right now, what are your values? Because if your values, if you check in with those values and figure out what those are, and then you actually look at where you're at in your life on the boat, a lot of those might actually be getting ticked for you right now on a daily basis, but you've kind of forgotten what those are. And so without looking at them, you're kind of just seeing this negative spectrum of what's going on. And when you reassess those and check in with those each day, it's like, oh, right, okay, actually things might be a bit better of where I'm at currently. And that's like one of the easiest, most basic things to do straight away. And also those skills and strengths and stuff that you do have at the moment, what are the ones you actually enjoy using? Because I think a lot of people forget what they actually enjoy using. This is what I do, therefore this is my skill. It's like, well, actually there's other skills that you might not be aware of that you're using that in a future career you might, you know, excel in, like that core skill set you have and those core strengths, like your core nature of who you are. When going into a future career, it's good to identify what that is now. So when you go into something in the future, you can start utilizing that, and it's just kind of that natural flow between where you are now and where you're going, rather than going, okay, I have to relearn all this stuff. You've already got so many things that you've learned up until this point, and it's just about kind of combining all of those together and working out what that will look like. And I think a lot of people, maybe, like I know I never did, never really had a chance while they're in the industry to actually look at that and go, well, what does this look like? What am I doing that I really enjoy? What am I doing that I'm really good at? What do people acknowledge me for? Because when you notice those things, then you can start honing in on making those better. Or if you need to upskill or reskill or, you know, just you can use the industry that you're in now to help you kind of push you into the future. You don't have to leave and start a new career from the beginning because you've already got so much that's got you to where you're at. So yeah, it's, I think the last 2 years has definitely just sort of shone a spotlight on where people are, and it's this industry as it is with others, but I think this has just identified more because people were at sea and not able to go home and those kind of things. So,
it was reminding me of a line a captain last year on Lave said was, you know, he was talking about his own progression from yachting, and he said, it's a bit like jumping in a taxi. You can't just say, go west. It's really helpful to have a destination to know, you know, you might take the back streets, but it's really helpful to know what your end destination and goal is. And that's not necessarily in one particular job. It's in finding something that, you know, ultimately fulfills your potential and your experience and your gifts. And that can change too, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like being my theory is it's like being a boat stuck at sea. If your compass is spinning forever and you don't actually know where you're going, then how on earth are you going to find somewhere to go and anchor at and find that new job or whatever? You'll go into this marina or into this harbor and just, you know, put your anchor down and it just doesn't feel right. But when you work all that out, it just makes so much more sense. And, you know, with no real direction, and that changes over time. And I think people forget that, you know, when they got into the industry, they might have had these motivations to be in it. But by the time you go to leave, you have a completely different, you know, it would be wrong to think that you don't change over time. You grow, you learn, you experience, and, you know, naturally things change. So I think people maybe forget that sometimes, that it's good to recheck in with that sort of stuff.
I wrote an article in the summer, which initially was kind of about myself, but actually really resonated with a lot of people in the industry. And the title of it was Jack of All Trades. And basically what I was trying to get to was, I think the industry produces very resilient, flexible people who naturally take on many multitasking roles. They are flexible. They have to work in an environment where things can change in a moment. They have a plan, but maybe the owner changes his mind, or a charter comes in at the last minute, or you think you have everything sorted and you have to be, you know, instantly able to adapt and change. And over the course of time, I think what it can produce is people think, well, yeah, I have this whole series of skills. Does it amount to anything? And does it have any value outside of where I am right now? And I came to that point when I came to the end of my super yacht career. And then ironically, I came to it a few years ago, where after years and years of being very fortunate in that I'd always gone from careers to jobs through recommendation and through recognition of my skills, I lost my job in COVID, an amazing, incredible job. And that's what actually pushed me to set up my my business. And then yet again, as someone who had done so much, I was questioning my value and going, yeah, okay, I've done all these things, and, you know, my bio, my CV looks great, but do all of those skills amount to something that has a value to other people that they will buy into? And I think the services that sort of Anna gives, or any advice that people like ourselves can give, is it just helps people to realize and stand back for a minute and go, do you know what? Everything I have done actually amounts to something very valuable. It's not a scattergun of various different skills. It actually amounts to something that makes me a very attractive proposition. And that maybe by further training, or maybe by having the ability to speak to someone and gather those things up, examine who I am and really what I want to do, remember, you know, why I'm here and why I'm doing this, but also get a clear idea of where I'm going. All of a sudden, this situation that seems very muddy, all of a sudden become very clear. So, I do think the industry produces extraordinary people, to be honest with you, but they just don't realise it.
I think it's really cool that these days, that statement that you just said, the jack of all trades and a master of none, I think finally, because there's so many people in the world, and like you said, the industry really produces extremely resourceful, resilient, adaptable people, and that a jack of all trades, a master of none, is actually finally changing, and it's being seen in a positive light, because being a jack of all trades has got you the ability to do basically anything that you want without getting into the you know, option paralysis, but working out what your general trades is. Because when you do figure out those things, it just makes it so much easier. And it makes you not feel, I think a lot of people have that feeling of being incomplete or incompetent because they're not at the top of their zone. But actually being able to, especially a lot of people I know, I don't know if you've seen the same, Emma, but a lot of people come out desperately wanting autonomy. Naturally, because, you know, in an industry like the superyacht industry, it is highly, you know, controlled under someone else's choice. But I think a huge number of my clients go through and create their own businesses and go down that other way. And I know that's what lay provides is, you know, when you work with someone like us and then you go through the lay whole collaboration of people, you can actually create businesses that are designed for you because you've got that broad spectrum of things that you can do. You're adaptable, you're resourceful, you can find out the information, you can solve problems, you know, quickly and work out what those are. And I think it just, I don't think people give themselves enough credit for the time that they spend in the industry and coming out and saying, I'm just a stew, or I'm just a deckie, or I'm just an, you know, that really diminishes what people are actually capable of doing. And you're not just a person made up of so many other things. And that is one of the things that you've done to get you to where you're in your life. And I think people really don't give themselves enough credit for where they're at, combined with all the stuff that they've learned.
I actually think that brings me on to a really important point, Anna, in that because over the years I've been involved in training, so I've trained a lot of people. And for me, I realised very early on that it wasn't good enough to training and support people and then shove them out the door. Your best marketing tool is your alumni. It's the, you know, and for me, it became a very natural thing to carry on talking to people and listening to what was happening in the industry. And through that, last summer, I started doing an exercise where I just started putting a spreadsheet together, thinking, okay, how many people do I know who have eventually come out of the industry and either gone into their next careers or set up their own business? And it was extraordinary. I think I've got a list of 76 people that I started putting together.
Yeah.
All of them having come up either with their own idea, their own business ideas, a lot of whom I helped through that process, but also a lot of whom who did manage to identify their skills and managed to find an industry or an area where they could really utilize those to have a successful career. And I think one of the exciting things about Lay is, you know, over the course of this year is not just the individual organizations and individuals who will be there to help crew, but the body of information that we can also make available to people. So for me, you know, developing that document is something that hopefully might sort of crystallize a few thoughts, or even if none of those 76 options appeal to someone, it gives them the confidence to think, someone has gone before me. Someone has utilized this experience and they have found their way, you know, either by further training or starting to think of those options whilst they're actually in the industry. You know, we all, it's just nice, isn't it, to see other examples and to feel that you're not alone.
Thank you both so much. Before we finish up this segment of the show, I wanted to get back to you, Emma. I'm just kind of finishing off with looking at different pathways and how you can create them.
Yes. Ultimately, in terms of supporting crew, we've obviously talked about the issues at play at the moment and different ways that you can support people to actually stay in the industry and kind of refine their passion. But also encourage them to look at how they can have successful pathways out. I've been fortunate to work in training ever since really I came ashore. And that developed into work where I developed foundation degrees to underpin training for people on super yachts. And in the last couple of years, I've formed a partnership with MLA College, who are part of an international university group called Bow Global. And they specialize in online distance learning for those in the maritime industry. And when I first started working with them, I identified that they had one BSc and MSc course that actually fitted the needs of those in the superyacht industry absolutely perfectly in sustainable maritime operations. And when we talk about sustainability, we tend to think about plastics pollution, we tend to think of the oceans. And what we don't always think about is the actual day-to-day operational sustainability of the industry. In terms of all of those things are massively important, but in order for the industry to survive in the next 20 years and the next 10 years, it's obviously got to meet the emissions targets. It's obviously got to change the way the boats are fueled. It's got to change the way we think about even building the boats. So it's a huge area, but also the one sort of missing area is how do crew who are currently engaged, who run the bridges, who work on the interior, who are in the engine rooms, how do they actually learn and grow and enrich their skill set so that they actually operate sustainably on a daily basis? So we started working together to spread awareness to the superyacht industry. And initially we had a BSc final year course, completely online, distance learning, and an MSc, so a master's course. And anybody from the superyacht industry could access it if they had an HND, a foundation degree. But as we went on, that was great. And we got a really good interest from people in the industry. But my big thing really is barriers and removing them. And so many people in the industry did not go to university, but obviously have highly responsible jobs, are really intelligent people. And as you start going through your career, you do look back and go, oh, I wish I had a degree. And then you look around at the options. Number one, there's very little that seems appropriate or actually of use to you. Right. And number two, to stop your career and get out and go and physically go and attend degrees would obviously be pretty much impossible for most people. And whilst there absolutely are online distant learning degree and master's courses out there, they are run by universities who are not able to be flexible. And I think the key really, obviously, if you are working on a commercial vessel that works to a timetable, you know what you're doing. If you work on a superyacht, even if you have rotation, it's often very difficult to have any kind of predictable routine. So taking on even a part-time qualification can seem like quite a daunting or something that may not really be possible to do. So working with MLA College, they were fantastic. They completely understood the demographic. And we then opened up the degree and the MSc to individuals where they could use their COCs. If you've got your Officer of the Watch, if you've got your Chief Engineers, if you've got your Master's Yacht 3000, then you can jump straight into these courses. So an Officer of the Watch could come in straight into a final year BSc in Sustainable Maritime Operations. If you're a captain, you've got your Master's Certificate, your COC, you can jump straight into a Master's course. And it was really about valuing those individuals. Huge, what we call experiential learning. Their life learning was just as valuable.
This is exactly, you know, one of the challenges I have heard. You know, they have all these qualifications that have taken time and energy and money to accumulate, but not having them recognized, you know, as a more generic qualification in a platform has been a major major challenge.
And you know, as we know, your MCA qualifications are just the tip of the iceberg to actually the kind of knowledge and experience and skill set you need to run a superyacht. So these are people who are hugely valuable, and so we're giving them the opportunity to step straight into those courses. And the beauty of what MLA College does, and I think the reason for me that I really got involved, is they are truly flexible. So there are three entry points a year, and you can start and stop your studies anytime. So you may have gone into it you know, in good faith, thinking, okay, I'm on rotation, or we're actually in the shipyard for the winter, so this is going to be perfect for my first few modules, and then everything changes. So you can temporarily halt it, or literally put it on the shelf for 2-3 months, 6 months, and then pick it up again. You can pay module by module, and it is a totally supported distance learning course. So you have a human being at the other end who you can talk to and relate to. The subject area, as I said, is all operational sustainability, but it is also directly attributable to everything you do within the superyacht industry. Wow. So it's proven really popular, and it kind of answers that need that people have once they've got their qualifications and they are looking to see, okay, so how can I continue that learning process, but with something that's actually going to be valuable to me right now in my career, but also in the future, and may help me step out. It may help people recognize everything that I'm capable of, and make it a little bit easier for people to see what I've actually got to offer.
Brilliant. So Emma, before we go, if people want to find out a little bit more about it, is there a source they can go to kind of read up a bit more?
Absolutely.
What kind of time scale is it? You know, you can begin when you're ready, or is it, you know, it begins every September or springtime or anything like that?
There are three entry points a year, which are May, September and January, which is great. It means there's different points for everyone, depending on what your schedule is. And if you want to find out more, then my company, The OM, deals with all applications from the superyacht sector. So go and visit The OM, come and talk to The OM.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I am intrigued myself, even though I'm not going to be skilling up in that, but it's a wonderful source and resource, and great to see this, you know, next expansion for people in the industry. So fabulous.
Thank you very much.
Emma and Anna, thank you so much. I knew I was going to enjoy this half hour. It was going to be most instructive and a little bit inspiring as well. Thank you both so much for joining us, and keep with us. We will be back after the break with Martin Bogart, and we'll be looking a little bit at the changeover of those skills into other industries and future potentials. Thank you so much.
This is Super Yacht Radio.